It probably happened at some point in your life that you you were in school or wherever, and the teacher said, "Let's daven." Now, you didn't exactly know what it means to daven, so they gave you a book, and they pointed to a certain point in the book, and they said, "Read this." And then they told you where to turn the page to this page, and then read that. So people think, from that point on, from that moment on, that that's what it means to daven. To daven means that they give you an ancient text of Hebrew words, and you say it. And mamish, to this day, I'm saying a person can be in shul 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and he thinks that's what it means to daven, to say words from the sitter. Now, I've been bored in my life, but few things are as boring as just reading ancient Hebrew texts, especially if I don't understand them. But how can reading be interesting? So reading is boring. So that's why I was just having a discussion with two of my best friends that most people, like I walked out of shul on Shabbos morning, and a guy in his 60s, you know, was commenting on how fast, you know, the davening was or the Malkore was, and he added that that's really the most important thing. That'd be fast. And I understand him, because he's bored, and he just wants to get it to be over already. And that's really when he chooses a shul. When he comes to shul in the morning, he's just praying that the torture should end as soon as possible. And that, you know, there are many tragedies in this world. That, I think, in today's world is the biggest tragedy. I think that Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, learning has caught fire. Wherever you go, there's shiurim, people are into it, and they're printing all these different types of books, and you know, to make Gemara easy, and to make Mishnayos easy, and for Chumash, and commentaries, and so many different books about so many different topics, and Halacha, and Hilchos Shabbos, and Hilchos Lashon Hara, learning is in. But davening, even in places where learning is in, davening is still very shvach. Now, Shabbos is more like a show, so sometimes on Shabbos the davening is a little bit better, but just a regular old mincha on a Tuesday afternoon. It's just something, I gotta do mincha. So people just do it. And that, my sweetest friends, makes me cry. It makes me cry. And in order to learn how to daven, you have to learn how. It's not just read this. Read this, I'm saying, oh, God, 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 God. If you teach a cat, if you know how to tame a cat, if you're good at it, you can teach a cat to read. Can you teach a cat to read? If you're a good enough tamer, you can. But certainly you could teach anybody who's got no connection to anything. You just read it. It's transliterated. So give it to, you know, when Yitzhak Rabin died, Bill Clinton, you know, said it, Kaddish transliterated. So they said he said it pretty well. So you can also just transliterate and read it, but that's nothing. It has nothing to do with davening. Davening is called Avodah Shebelev. And therefore, if there's no lev, if davening is not an emotional experience, it's not davening. So when you're in yeshiva, you're not only supposed to learn how to learn, they teach you how to learn. They teach you, you know, where to start, where to stop, how to analyze the Gemara. One also has to learn how to daven. And this is a big avoda, which ends at what point? When does the avoda of learning how to daven end?
When you die.
When you die. That's when it ends. Then you can go up to a Kodesh Baruch and hopefully get schar for all the daven. But Rav Kook has an essay that's entitled Haneshama Tamid Mitpalelet. Your neshama is always davening. Your neshama is always trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's just a matter of learning how to give it the proper expression. That's its feel. That's why there's no atheist in a foxhole. Because deep down in our penis, you know, there's something that everybody wants to connect to, and we just have to learn how to do it. That's all. And if you do, so first of all, it's the right thing to do. That's the ikkar. But besides that, it just makes your life a lot more pleasant. Then davening isn't a burden anymore. I know a lot of people don't like doing anything spiritual, but a lot of people enjoy learning because it's intellectually stimulating. But davening, they never learn how to enjoy. Okay? Some people only like davening in the Yom Noraim because, you know, how can you not like singing Mara Cohen? Who can like Mara Cohen? Or, you know, your favorite tune for Kianu Amecha Ve'ata Elokeinu Kianu, you know, Dodecha Ve'ata Anuro Anu Kehalecha Ve'ata. So, that's all Givaldic. But what about, you know, Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer said about Rav Kook, halavai that I should say ne'ilah, like Rav Kook said mincha on a Wednesday afternoon. That's insane. When mincha on a Wednesday, it should be like your ne'ilah. But that's where we're going, guys. That's the goal. At the end of the day, your ne'ilah still has to be a ne'ilah. But every davening should be an emotional experience that changes you. So now we're holding with at Hoshana Rabbah. And Hoshana Rabbah is the day of Aravos. We all know, we all went out and bought our packages of new fresh Aravos. And my kids love this part, where you're banging on the floor and you say, Kol Mavasir Mavasir V'Yomer, Kol Mavasir Mavasir V'Yomer. And then if your kids like to fight, so then they bang it on each other's heads, and it's just another reason to... But that's Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is the day of Aravos. Aravos are the star. So now we know that there are four minim, Lulav, Esrog, Hadassim, and Aravos. And each of the four minim corresponds to a different type of Jew. So an Esrog has Tam V'Reach, so it has both taste and smell, and that corresponds to Jews with Torah, Mice, and Tovim. And then you have with taste and without smell, with smell and without taste, the Lulav and the Esrog, the Lulav and the Hadassim. And then the lowest level is the Jew that has neither Torah nor Mice and Tovim. Who's that?
The
Aravot. The Aravot. So what do? We take the highest, holiest day. We're working towards this day. Mamash Ol El, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. We're getting closer and closer and closer. The apex, the peak is Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. Like, that's where everything is going towards. But the last step, right before Hoshana Rabbah, what do? We take the biggest loser. Excuse me for saying this. But the Aravot is the biggest loser. It got no time and no Reach. And he's the star of the day. It's the day of the Aravah. So why is the Aravah so special? Why is the Aravah the star of Hoshana Rabbah? So
as you start, we're beating him down.
No, like we say Hoshanas, and it's all about the Aravah. So the Svarim stress that's the emphasis on Hoshana Rabbah is you know, you're holding the Aravah. And then you're beating it down. You're not beating it down like you're a bad boy. You're doing an avoda with it. So why do we do the avoda daf with the Aravah? I'd rather do the avoda with the Esrog. The Esrog has tam and reach. So and that's kol mevaser mevaser v'yomer. That's bringing us to Mashiach. And it says in the Siddur, like it says in the name of the Arizal. I think it says, I always read it before because I always want to do it right. Like, do it exactly five times and no more. You know, you don't want to, if you do six or you do four, it's not going to have the same effect. So there's a special avodah we have with the Aravah, and also the Gemara talks about in the Gemara in Sukkah, it talks about the specialness of the Aravah. So like, what's the chashivas of the Aravah? So if you didn't learn Sukkah before Sukkot, you didn't have the same Sukkot. So I'll give you an eitzah now. You have 6 months till Pesach. Try to learn Maseches Pesachim, so it'll make your Pesach a different Pesach. And by next year, after Pesach, you go Sukkah and Yom and Rosh Hashanah, and then your Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot and Yom Kippur will be different. It says in Reb Tzadok that the light of the holidays in the Masechta. So now, Baruch Hashem, we have Chanukah coming up. That's the next one. So it's only three pages, guys. So if you want your Chanukah to be a Chanukah, you learn the three pages of Chanukah. But otherwise, it's not a day. So the Gemara in Sukkah also talks about the Arav. So says the Sfas Emes, and this is the year Tuf Reish Mem, which is 1880. He says, "Emam tam berech, machashivusam." So why are they so important? Ach apeshu ikar kochen shel Yisrael hakol kol Yaakov. We know that each of the different minim correspond to a different part of our body, and if you look at the Arava, they actually look like lips. If my lips would be green, so Kermit the Frog's lips look like an Arava. So Kermit doesn't have lips. That's Ennis. But if Kermit would have lips, they would look like an Arav. It's already Lundus. So they're in the shape, the lips are in the shape of an Arav. Why? Because the Arav symbolizes Tefillah. The Arav symbolizes Tefillah. And that's the main Koach, says this Sfas Emes of Am Yisrael, HaKol Kol Yaakov. Our Koach, our power is with our mouth, our voice. Who is the Yishpizin of the last day? Who's the last day correspond to? David HaMelech. What was David HaMelech? What was special with that David HaMelech? What?
Didn't sleep.
He didn't sleep, but what do we know him for? We know him for his Kedushim and learning what?
Tehillim.
Malchus?
Tefillah!
David is Tefillah! You know why I say David is Tefillah? What does the Pasuk say? In Tehillim? Authored by David? Vani Tefillah! I am Tefillah. That's what David HaMelech said. Saying, you see, the whole Tehillim It's interesting, like when you learn something. So a lot of times you say, like, you're reading the Chumash, or you're learning the Gemara. But people say, I once heard this ha'ara from Nechama Leibowitz, famous Chumash teacher. She said, but Tehillim, they say, Ichzok Tehillim. I'm saying Tehillim, because Tehillim is the one text. When you're saying it, it's like you speaking. You're not supposed to. When she would teach Tehillim, she wasn't so interested in the historical background, at what point it was said, and where, what he was doing, because this is for Kol Adoros. That's when people want to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't just daven Shachar 6 times every morning, right? When you really want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say Tehillim, because that's you speaking to Hashem. It's just, it's so powerful. Like when you read Tehillim, or when you say Tehillim, right? God is a living presence. You know, David HaMelech, he's talking to me like he's right there. Vani kirvas elokim lito. You go through Tehillim and you see the power of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's expressed in Tehillim. David HaMelech was the davener. David HaMelech was filled with emotion, and emotion is tefillah. That's also talking this far about how David HaMelech is connected Purim, right? Each of the chagim corresponds to another Avram is Pesach, Yitzhak Shavuos, Yitzhak Sukkos. So David HaMelech is Purim. Purim is the, like, where it's kul olay. We don't have a seichel on Purim. So David HaMelech, not that he didn't have a seichel, he was a gadol in Torah also. But what for Ladoros, what we have David HaMelech for is his power of tefillah. And that's the last day of Sukkos is David HaMelech. So the Sfas Tema says that the three meaning are connected to three of us. He doesn't say who is who. But he says that David HaMelech, Olav HaShalom, he said, V'ani tefillah. I am tefillah. There's a beautiful mashal of Simcha Bunim Yipshista. He said, what does it mean, I am tefillah? I mean, I am not tefillah. You can say, I'm not prayer, I am praying. What do you mean, I am prayer? So, he gives a mashal. Sometimes a guy comes to your door, it's a big guy, well-dressed, well-fed. You see a nice, you know, sleek sports car that pulled up to your house. And you say to the guy, so, how can I help you? So, what can I do for you? He knocked at your door. But let's say a guy comes up to your door. He's wearing ripped clothing. He's emaciated. His eyes, you look into his eyes and you see the despair. And what is he saying? I need money. I need food. He doesn't have to say it. You just take one look at him, and everything about him expresses his need for help, his need for tzedakah. So Simcha Bunim Yipshista said that's what it means when it says in the Tehillim, "Ani tefillah." That David HaMelech, everything about him expressed tefillah. What does it mean? Everything about him expressed tefillah. What is tefillah? What is tefillah? So the Maharal says the principle of all principles is tefillah. Tefillah means that you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're chaser. You're lacking. I have nothing. I don't have God. Without you, I have zero. I don't have eyes, I don't have ears, I don't have a nose, I don't have food, I don't have anything. That's not the way we go before God. We go before God, God, I'm tall, I'm good looking, I've been working out recently, I'm ripping. How do Americans say it? Ripped. I'm ripped. I'm ripped. So I'm ripped. Yes, I hope I never have to rip. My parents should live many, 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 many good years. Yes, the only thing is, you know, there's this girl who I really like, you know, and I'm trying to get her to go out with me. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe you can put in her brain that she'll be willing to go out with me. Or, you know, I'm applying to this in the school. No, Kodesh Baruch Hu, help them accept me. You know, tell them to accept me, and I need your help with that. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, I have, I'm trying to get a flight, you know, and they say that they might be booked. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make that somebody else cancels and I get a good seat on the floor. That's what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What, right now we have what we have, and we ask him, does anyone ever go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? An average guy. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need kidneys. I need kidneys. Without kidneys, you're done. Without kidneys, give it a couple of days without kidneys. No kidneys and no machine. You're done. Kidney cleans your blood. The blood gets filthy enough. Finished. Nobody says that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When do people ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for kidneys? When they need a kidney transplant. Then they go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I need hearing. I need to please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow me, I want to hear, I want to hear. Imagine everything is just completely silent. I get that feeling. You know, when you watch television, you turn the mute button. You know, I once talking like this, oh wow, you know, isn't it great to be able to hear? So that's the only time where, you know, you see a blind person, you see a deaf person, but otherwise it doesn't occur to you. You only ask, you know, for what? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I have the flu, can you help me, I'm taking antibiotics, can you help me get rid of it? But that's not tefillah. Tefillah is your kulo chaser. You have nothing. All you have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Svam HaKadosh and say Givaldit. Let's look at the name of David HaMelech. First letter is a Dalit. The Gemara says that Dalit is poor. A Dal is a poor person. Dalat Ha'am are the poor people. That's why Gimel Dalit, the Gemara says, is Gimel Dalit. So David HaMelech is Dalit. I'm poor. Okay? Then you have a Vav. What's the Vav? Vav is a Vav Achibur. Vav is connection. And meaning now he's connected. He's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God gives him. And now what's the last letter? Vav again. What does that mean? That after everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me, I'm still down. Otherwise I have absolutely nothing. And that's why David is Malchus. Right? David represents kingship. Malchus Yisrael. And what is Malchus Yisrael always Nimshal to? We say in Kiddush Levana, the moon. The moon is Nimshal. The Jewish people are Nimshal to the moon. Especially the Malchus. The Malchus of David is a Mashal. The Mashal of Malchus Yisrael is the moon. What does the moon have on its own? Nothing. Less lame of the Garmei Kum, the Zohar says. Doesn't have anything on its own. So David HaMelech, represented by the moon, and that's really what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be. That's why that's our mitzvah. We camp by the moon. A moon means we don't have anything. And that's when you're going before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're davening, you're like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Anit Tefillah. You say, I don't have ears, I don't have eyes, I can't move a limb. We know we can move a limb. Just, you know, sometimes something bothers us a little bit, you know, our knee's been bothering us, whatever it is. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our knee, right? But they don't ever say that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me circulation. I need circulation, otherwise, ever happened, you know, you were sitting for a while, like in your leg fell asleep. By the way, I hate when my leg falls asleep during the day, because then I can't fall asleep at night, right? Your leg falls asleep, and then it takes you, this happens to me all the time, it takes you 3 or 4 minutes till you can walk again. It ever happened to you, just sitting in the same place for a long time? Right? So there, you're just waiting for it to end, and then it's over. But you ever stop and walk down the street and think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need circulation. Otherwise, you realize that was what you can't walk. You can't move. And there are people like that. There are people who literally, they can't move. Excuse me?
Asher Yatzar.
That's exactly what Asher Yatzar is. And people only start realizing, appreciating Asher Yatzar when one day there's a serious blockage, and they go to the hospital, and they say, I'm sorry, it's going to hurt you, but this is the only way we can help you. And they take a pipe, and they stick it down the guy's mouth, and they shove it in, and, you know, some urine comes out, some blood comes out, some other stuff comes out, and then the guy says, oh, thank you, Rabbanu Shalom. But otherwise, how do we look at Asher Yatzar? It's the biggest pain in the neck to go to the bed. It's just a pain, right? And then you say, Asher Yatzar, all right, this is just another thing that I have to say, you know, another lousy thing that, you know, I had to do because my mother's Jewish, right? To appreciate Master of the Universe. You see people, they can't hold, they have a pipe connected. Some people, every time it's painful. Some people, they have a thing, and they have a, you know, how do you say it in English? A catheter? Catheter? Whatever it is. And they have a thing, and it comes out, and they can't control it. Can you imagine living a life like that? So only the people who have had such an experience, or know people, only they appreciate it. And that goes to everything in our lives. Everything in our lives, we have food. So Baruch Hashem, we're living in a country of plenty, right? There's never been anybody who didn't have food, didn't starve to death. Just to appreciate food. Now it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us so much bracha, and we're so inundated with food, that we can't really make a bracha before we eat or after we eat. Because we know that we have plenty now, we'll have plenty later. We don't really appreciate the bracha because there's so much bracha. But that's not when you daven, you're supposed to think, I have absolutely nothing. That's why the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, you start davening, you say, Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ufi Agiti L'Asecha. God, open my lips and let my mouth say your praise. What are you saying? You're saying, Ravona Shalom. I can't even daven without your help. You're davening to be able to daven. We take it for granted that we can daven. So you're saying, no, Hashem Svasai, please, you open my lips so I can daven to you, because I can't even daven. I can't do anything. And that's David HaMelech. David HaMelech was the Dalit, I'm poor, the Vav, the Chibur, and then again in the Dalit. And he was Anit Tefillah, and He's the one who taught us how to daven. Says the Sfas Emes continues. In kivanim kol tzadikim sheish lam dam v'reach olu l'madregas rabbas yosef. He says, what happens when a tzaddik davens? When a tzaddik davens, there's a tarovus, there's a mixture. On one hand, he has good deeds, and on the other hand, he's davening. But let's say you have a Jew who davens, and he has nothing else besides his tefillah. That's going to be the most powerful tefillah. Because he can't say, you know, I have this mitzvah, and I have the Torah that I learn, and I give tzedakah. He's just pure tefillah. So why does Arava represent tefillah? Why is the Arava so special? Because Arava has no smell and no taste, no Torah, no Maisim Tovim. So all it has is tefillah. It's in the shape of lips. And when all you have is prayer, then you're really going to pray. You have nothing else to depend on. And that's Hoshana Rabbah. And that's the day of David HaMelech. And that's why the Sfas Emes says in another mimer, he says, that's why the Pasuk says, Dalosi V'li Oshia. I am poor, and you save me. Meaning, because I'm so pure, because I realize I have nothing, I have no Torah, I have no Maisim Tovim, I have nothing, I am nothing, I'm a complete zero, then your tefillah becomes a tefillah. Because then you know that all you have is your koach tefillah. You don't have anything else working on your side. And that's what David HaMelech represents. Umisha ein lo tam v'rech, hu rak tefillah bilvah. If you don't have taste and smell, and you're not that lulav, you're not that esrog, you're not that das, and you're just an arav, and you have no taste and no smell, you're nothing, that's how you're supposed to daven. You're supposed to daven if you have nothing in the world, you have no schios at all, you have no merits, and it's just, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only way I'm going to change anything is through my power of tefillah. And there's another pasuk in Tehillim, it says, tefillah la'ani, it's also a song, kiyatov, a prayer to an ani. First of all, when a person davens, it has to be a tefillah ani. You have to realize you have nothing. And also it says, ki yatov, he wraps himself. What does it mean? That you're wrapping yourself completely in tefillah. When you're davening, you're just kulo misa'atev. That's why we put the talus around yourself. You're completely enwrapped in the tefillah. Right? That's why al pi halacha, it's in Mishnah Berurah. I don't know why a lot of people don't do it. But when you're davening, if you don't wear a talus, you're not married, so you don't wear a talus. But when you wear a talus, your talus is supposed to be on your head when you're davening. The ideal is that it should be on your head from Modani until Lamanach Kaveh Hashem Chazak V'Yamitzadecha V'Kaveh Hashem and the Kaddish afterwards. Right? So it's really supposed to be, but at least for, you know, Brichas Kriyashma, for Shemoneh Esrei, because you're supposed to be completely enwrapped in the tefillah. And that's what the talus represents, and it also represents Anava. That you're humble, like, I have no, like, who am I? So you wrap yourself as a sign of Anava, of humility. And this is very sweet to God. When a person is completely enwrapped in his tefillah, it's very sweet. So how do you say sweet in Hebrew? How else? Orev. We say every morning that our Torah should be sweet. So what's the name of the Arava? The Arava, it's Milosh and Orev, it's sweet. What's so sweet about something without taste and without smell? Try to eat. Rabbi Swell, eat an Arava tonight. See how it tastes. It's not sweet at all. If you put sugar on it, it'll be sweet, but not because of the Arava. Yes? So why is it sweet? What? Because it's that's the greatest tefillah. The greatest tefillah is you realize you have no tam, you have no reach, you have nothing. That's the level you're supposed to reach. When you talk about tefillah, tefillah has to be anybody who thinks he's a somebody, anybody who thinks he's a yesh, it's better than he not tam. It's better than not that. You have to realize the first thing you wake up in the morning, first word out of your mouth is thank you. What is thank you? So there's a beautiful mimer of Rav Huttner, and actually Rav Kook also says it. Rav Huttner says it in Chanukah, and his Rebbe Rav Kook says it in his parish on the Siddur, the Olas Re'iyah, that Hodah can mean thank you, and it could also mean admitting. Like we say in the Gemara, Moda B'miktas. Anyone ever learned Baba Metzia? Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Baba Smith. A lot of Bubba's. All these big Bubba's can be a lineman, Bubba can be a Masechta. Yes, he used to be a big lineman, Bubba Smith. How did I get onto that? Mode! So, thank you. So, mode is about. So, it. Mode b'miktas. And Bubba Metzia, we're talking a lot about mode b'miktas. What does it mean? I'm mode, I admit. So admitting is one thing. I admit I was wrong. I admit you were right. And thanking you was thank you very much. Dinner was great. So how is the same word in Hebrew used for thank you and admission? What's the answer? When you thank somebody, you're admitting, I need you. I can't be without you. That's why I heard somebody once say, a good boy, he said, we don't start the day off and say, ani mode. If I would write out, say, I thank you, Hashem. We don't want to start the day off with ani. That's a bad way to start off your day, starting off with me already. Already, anyway, you know, they you know, if you listen to how many times Dale Carnegie in his famous sefer, How to Win Friends and Influence People, said, they once listened to, you know, phone conversations, and they saw how many times the person said the word I went, I did hear, I, so many I's. So let's shout with the eyes, because people are loving themselves. So it's better not to start every day with the eyes. So we say, Modeh Ani, instead of Ani Modeh. We start off, I thank you, right? Thank I. And I am thanking, but we don't want to start off with the I. So that is an Arava. An Arava is sweet, because the sweetest tefillah is to know that Ich bin Gornish, that I'm going before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm saying, God, everything I have is from you. Every single thing that I have, every thought, just the fact that you can think, right? Don't you realize that each and every person sitting here is absolutely, completely retarded? But retarded. Nothing. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you seichel. So you get up in the morning, and you say, thank you, God, for seichel. And you don't have to go far to meet people who are retarded. And there are different levels of retardation. But we're the lowest level, all of us. Completely, absolutely retarded. The only thing is, on top of our absolute, complete retardation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us seichel. What happens to some people, Nebuch? The smartest, most brilliant people, they lose it. They don't remember their names, they don't remember their family members, they don't remember how to eat, they don't remember anything. So again, you don't have to go so far to meet people or to hear of people who are in such situations. So you say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we thanking him that he gives a rooster, Sechvi Lahavchi Meyom Elal, he gives the rooster the ability to differentiate between day and night? Why the rooster? So the Alter Mitzvah Badka said, we thank God for every little bit of Sechel we have. Every little bit. Because the rooster has a little bit, and we, every little bit above that, we thank God for. Like some people say, oh wow, he's such a genius. The truth is, we're all geniuses. Yes? Compared to an amoeba, we're geniuses. Compared to a cat, we're geniuses. Well, we just don't appreciate our genius, because we compare ourselves to the smartest kid in the class. But if you would compare yourself to this table, you're a genius compared to the table. You ever, the table does know, I can tell the table 50,000 times, 2 plus 2 is 4, and the table wouldn't hop. It would just give me the same blank stare it's giving me right now. Right? So you thank God as well. 2 plus 2 is 4. Okay? And go up to some people and try to explain it. Go up to a newborn baby and say, okay, my little RL, my cute little RL, yes? My 2 plus 2 is 4. Okay? Now how much is 2 plus 2? You know, just a little bit of spittle is coming out of the side of his mouth. He goes, you know, a little white stuff he spits up on you. He said, no. You got it wrong. 2 plus 2 is 4, okay? Now, what is 2 plus 2? And again, he's looking, he's opening his eyes, he's closing his eyes, he starts to cry a little, he's feeling nervous in your arms because he's tensing your tension, and then, you know, until you give him back to his mother, and you give him back to his mother, you say, by the way, I just want to tell you something about your newborn baby. He might be cute, but he's really stupid, right? But, Baruch Hashem, our seichel developed! You know, even the greatest ones, even Albert Einstein, when he was a newborn, he didn't have anything. Nothing. And then as he got older, he understood more and more and more. You know, go to a thing and say, you know, go to a one-year-old child, not a baby already, a one-year-old, and he's crawling around, and sit down and say, listen, sit right here, okay? You won't sit, so you strap him in. And you say, okay, the Gemara says like this, that's Rava, okay? Now, Tosfos asked a question on Rava from a Gemara above a Metzia. Okay, where's he asking the question from? And he's giving you this blank stare. He's asking a question from Bava Metzia. Bava Metzia, Bava Metzia! So he repeats Bava Metzia. Doesn't chop. But he's asking a question from Bava Metzia, no Bava Metzia. And then you say to him, okay, there's this, the Gemara there says this, and the Gemara here says this. You get how it's different? There it says, in this case, it's Usser. And here it says the exact same case as Mutter. He doesn't understand. So you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your seichel developed. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. You get my jokes? One of two things happen. Either you think I'm funny, or you think I'm really corny and stupid. Yes? But either way, you chap! And a lot of people, they don't. They just look, there are people in this world. So you thank God for that's tefillah, that's what it means. When you daven, it's complete anav and you're going before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's called Hoshana Rabba. Why not just Hoshana? Save us. We hold our rabbis and we say it's a big saving. Why is it a big saving? Why is it Hoshana Rabbah? Because everybody can be saved on Hoshana Rabbah. You don't need anything. All you need is one thing. You need to really daven. Odessa has a good word about davening. He says, when you're learning, you're not going to be learning on the same level as Rebbe Yoshi for a long time. Looking around in this room, I think it's going to take most of you guys at least 2 or 3 years with your brilliance to get to Rebbe Yoshev's level. Rebbe Yoshev is going at it now for about 87, 88 years. 80, meaning he's about 96, 97. So he's been learning seriously, we'll say, for 93, 94 years. Yes, we won't believe the biographies that say he was already learning Gemara when he was born. Yes? So it's going to take you a while to get to Rebbe Yoshev's level of learning. Okay? But what about davening? How long does it take to get to a level to really daven? The truth is, all a person really needs is a very funny-looking x-ray that the doctor says that he really thinks in lo aleinu chas v'shalom, not in any Jew, but the doctor has a very serious suspicion that this might be, I don't want to say the C-word, yes? And what does a person do then? You don't need training for this. You don't need, to learn greater analysis. You don't need a high IQ. All you need is one thing. You just need your lathe, and all of a sudden the person's at the kotel, and he's sobbing bitterly, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save me from this terrible decree. That's what it is. But I have a secret for you guys. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always saving us from these things. Always. Somebody told me, he went to the doctor a few months ago, and the doctor found something, it was nothing. It was nothing, but if he'd not gone to the doctor, it would have developed into cancer. Right? I once read an article in the New York Times. I'm quoting great sources tonight. I quote the Sfas Emes and the Maharal and Dale Carnegie and the New York Times. So there's these little spots that people have in their bodies, like these little dots, like red dots. Maybe some of you have them. So I once read in like the Science Times, whatever, that those things could generally, they don't. They end up being nothing, but they could develop into cancer. Right? And just 999,000 out of a million, they don't. And I'm saying, there's so many things that can constantly go wrong. There's so many germs in the air. There's so much. So God is constantly saving us. How about this? Being surrounded by 100 million, at least, probably closer to a few hundred million, yes, people who want to kill us. And what do we have? We have some really tough looking guys like these guys, right? They're really cool. But they're just nice guys. They're nice Jewish kids. They don't really want to be here. They'd rather be at home with their family enjoying sukkahs. So, what do we have? What do we have? A couple. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saving us every second from that. Every second, they all want us. Iran, Iraq, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon. They all want every single person in this room dead. They have more money than we do. They have more oil than we do. They have more. They have
more fish in
there. Nuclear bombs, whatever, atom bombs. They have all this. They have lots and lots of stuff going on. And yet, every single day, the Rabbanu Shalom is saving us. So that's, constant. So when you're davening, that's what you're doing. You're davening. That's why it says in the Gemara, my Rebbe once had a great Hara, that it says in the Gemara that you're not allowed to eat before you daven. Why? Lo sochlu al adam. You shouldn't, lo sochlu, don't eat. Lefnei shetispalu al damchem, before you daven for your blood. Don't eat before you daven for your blood. So therefore, you're not allowed to eat before you daven. So what is the Gemara saying? What are you davening for when you're davening? You're davening for your blood, for your life. God, please give me another day of life. There are people that from yesterday until today, they're not alive anymore. You can open up. That's why the best muster is in the hospitals and in the obituary section in the newspaper. Somebody who yesterday was walking around laughing, smiling, playing, like, the previous year went a little late. So when Rav Amos was telling me why, he apologized. He said, he was on his way from Beit Shemesh, and somebody was killed in a car accident. So there was a Jew who was enjoying Sukkot, yes, and everything was terrific and wonderful, and, looking forward to Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. I don't know if it was a religious Jew or not a religious Jew, or maybe a way where he wasn't a Jew, but most people driving in Beit Shemesh are usually Jewish. And everything was terrific, and in 1 second, they're dead. Somebody was killed in a car. That's what a car accident is. In 1 second. So that's life. So when you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to make it alive to Mincha. I heard of a Gadol. I didn't confirm it because I didn't ask him. But I heard that every day he davens Mincha Gadol. He davens the early Mincha. Right? And not a later Mincha. Because he doesn't know that he's going to be alive for the later Mincha. So he wants the chapulah and daven the earlier mincha, just in case 3 hours later he's not alive, he wants to get in that last mincha. When he's, we don't look at life that way. For us, it's a given. Until we're at least 60, 70, there's absolutely nothing to talk about. And then, obviously, we're going to work out, we're going to exercise, we're going to eat well, we're going to cut down on smoking. I smoke a ton, but only passively. You know, you walk down the street, people smoke in your face, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. So, and then we'll have something to worry about. Maybe. When we're older, we'll take care of ourselves. How many people die in gyms while working out? A lot. How many? They're exercising. They're eating healthy. Everything is terrific. At any second, to any person. So when you're davening nothing for nothing less than dear life. So that gives you another perspective on davening, and that's David HaMelech. And that's Hoshana Rabbah. And anybody can be saved, because if you realize that that's what you're davening for, then you're really going to daven from the depths of your heart, and then Hashem listens to your tefillah. The Rebbe once gave an example of what it means, really, Hoshana Rabbah. He said that when he was in high school, he went to Nativ Meir here in Yerushalayim to Rav Arya Bina's high school, and they went in a tiyul. And there was this really cocky guy who was there, Majrich on the tiyul, and he was leading them around. And he thought he knew the way, but he didn't know the way. So they went off the path that they were supposed to go on, and they got lost. They were in the desert, in the Midbar Yehuda, I think it was, and they were walking around, and finally, after about 10 hours of this, they were out of water, and they were out of koach. And some of the boys just lay down on the floor, and if another half hour goes by, they're all dead. Because without water, on a boiling hot day like that, there's nothing to do. So, finally this, I don't know if I remember if it was a helicopter or a car, comes by, and all of a sudden they start screaming at the top of their lungs, Hatzilu, Hatzilu, true story, Hatzilu, Hatzilu, save us! You know, you're a few, these kids are their throats are, they're literally dying of thirst, and all of a sudden, they see that last hope for themselves, this person who's coming by, and they start screaming at the top of their lungs, Hatzilu, Hatzilu, save me! And Baruch Hashem, they were saved. I think that one kid died. I don't remember exactly, because he told the story a few years ago, but if I remember correctly, one of the kids died, and afterwards they had a whole, you know, investigation into the story, into what happened, and why, and this and that, and, you know, I think the guy got punished, the head of the tour, because, you know, he led them on the wrong, you know, he made them get lost. But the bottom line is that if you want to know what it means, Hoshana Rabbah, he said that's what it means, Hoshana Rabbah. When you scream, Hoshana, 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 right? What are you really crying for? The Hoshana has to, not what are you crying for, but how are you crying? Hoshana! That it's really a matter of life and death. That you're saying, Hatzilu, save me! So that's what he says here. V'hu Yeshua gam l'dolas ha-shvelim shanu shein lanu rak tefillah. He says, that's the Yeshua for us. All we have is tefillah. I didn't know all we have is tefillah. But I learn. You learn? How many mesechtas do you know? Anybody here? How many mesechtas do you know? Anybody know one? Most people I know. You know one mesechta? Right now you can go through Shaka Vatari from the beginning to the end? What? Oh, definitely not. And then, happens to be Ari's a very smart guy. But the guy can go through a mesechta, just question and answer from the beginning to the end, and then the Tosfos also. Tosfos on the page. Why ignore Tosfos? So, we don't know. How many people know one page well? One page well? I'm guessing that most of us, if we sat down with somebody who knows how to learn, yes, and he started asking us questions on any page that we prepared, there'd probably be a few questions we wouldn't be able to answer. That's probably more than a few. You know one page well. You know one page clearly. All the Rishonim, all the Achronim. Yes, really have. It's impossible. All the Rishonim, all the Achronim. You can take the first page above a comma, and you can have literally today with computers, you can get 5,000 pages of commentary on the first page. Yes, but just to know. In Torah, we don't know. In Torah, we don't know. Chumash. How many people know? First parasha in the Torah, Bereishis, the first parak with all the commentaries, just on the Mekoros Gedolos. You can tell me now the Ramban, the Or HaChaim, the Kli Yakor, and Rashi, and the first parak of the first of Sefer Bereishis. So in Torah, we don't really have much. And our Maisim told them also, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. Chas v'shalom, I love you guys. I love you guys. But we have a long way to go. A person sometimes thinks, oh yeah, I know that. We have a long way to go, and I'm not including myself in this with you guys. I'm a lot worse, because I've been in yeshiva longer than you've been alive, and I don't know anything either. So we're all in total war lacking. And in Maisim, we learn, the more you learn about what's required of a Jew, the way he's supposed to act, we're all very, very lacking in our Maisim, and what our kavanas are, and what our, you know, our intentions are. So what do we have? So the Sfas Emes says, in these Doros HaShvelim, all we have is Torah. All we have is our tefillah. So we have to know, that's like, that has to be our Rikur Shchus. Because since we're so weak in Torah, and we're so weak in Maisim Tovim, we have to have tefillah. And that's what he says. V'yeshua gam l'doros HaShvelim shalanu, she'en lanu lack tefillah. And on this day, on Hoshana Rabba, tonight and tomorrow, all the gates open up. The gates open up. You want to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is the right day. But it has to be for real. So that's Hoshana Rabba. And what does Hoshana Rabba lead into? Hoshana Rabba leads into Shmini Atzeres. So what's Shmini Atzeres? So Chazal say that Shmini Atzeres means that we over Sukkot we brought 70 korbanos, keneged corresponding to the 70 nations. And then Chazal bring a mashal. They say that what does the king say to his servant, to his beloved? He says, I just want an intimate meal now, just me and you. Until now, the nations were involved. We brought korbanos for all the nations. Sukkot is also a merit for the goyim. Shmini Atzeres is just us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I say me su the ketana, make with me a small meal, and it'll just be an intimate meal, just me and you. So that's what Shmini Atzeres is about. Just this one day, one more day of closeness between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it require to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara says that if a person is a Baal Gaiva, if a person is haughty, Ein ani v'hu yichol l'nadar b'kfifa achas. God says, I can't live with such a person. A person is haughty, a person is full of himself, a person is arrogant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't take him. So what's the secret of closeness to Hashem? Who is the person who was closest to Hashem in all of world history? Moshe Rabbeinu. And what was Moshe Rabbeinu's midah? He was an Arif. He was the humblest. He was the great, the most great of all men. He was an Anav Mikol Adam. An Anav is a grape. An Anav is a grape. Eli, you're with me? An Anav could be a grape, but could also be humble. So Moshe was very humble. But Anav could also be a grape. Now, so he was Anav Mikol Adam. And how do you get, what's the secret then, of Kirvat HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It only comes with Anava. So first you have Hoshana Rabba, which is tefillah, which is pure anava, that it's all, everything I have is from Hashem, I need tefillah. And then you have Shmini Atzeres. You want to be close to God. But the only way you can be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does it say in the Pasuk? Lo me'rubchem chashak Hashem b'chem mikol ha'amim. It's not because of your rav, the greatness God desired you. Ki atem ha'me'at mikol ha'amim. That's the Erech Lashon of the Pasuk. So Chazal say, because you make yourself small. God doesn't love us because you make yourself great. God loves us because we make ourselves small. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. Right? We have, the Gemara says, what did Avraham Avinu say? Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. That's the father of the Jewish people. I am the greatest man, the biggest genius, the biggest tzaddik, and all he had to say about himself is Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. I am dust and ashes. They say, why dust and ashes? Because dust has a future, but it has no past. Right? In the past, it was just dust. In the future, hopefully, there'll be fruits. Ashes has a past. It used to be something. And now it's burned. It's nothing. It has no future. So Avraham Avinu is saying, I'm Ofer ve'Efer. Just like dust has no past, I'm the dust of the earth. And just like Efer, ashes, has no future, I'm Efer. Absolutely nothing. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Am Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Am Yisrael. The Israelis were nothing, and that all we have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Shmini, and that's the way to get close to Hashem. That's Shmini Atzeres. That's our closeness. As opposed to other people, he gives them greatness, and they think, oh, I'm number one. I'm number one. Right? That's the negotiation world. Right? You have to show everyone you're number one. And then, that's Shmini Atzeres. And what comes next? Simchas Torah. So we always know what's the source of Simchas Torah. Where does it say in the Torah concept of Simchas Torah? It doesn't. Simchas Torah is from Chazal. So why dafka the Simchas Torah comes out always in Shmini Atzeres? There's a reason for that. It isn't just that. So all the Mefarshim try to understand all the holy books what Simchas Torah is doing now on Shmini Atzeres. Right? Simchas Torah is when we finish the Torah. I once saw a good mashal. Didn't see Shavuos in Simchas Torah. At one time there was a guy who was told that he's marrying the best girl in the world. His parents told him, we all know, we're all good Hasidish boys, that whoever your parents tell you to marry, you're not even going to have to meet her. You're just going to marry them, the girl, because you trust your parents. Right? So, your parents told you to marry this girl, you know they're right. So, you go and you marry her. And then you take a nice cruise with her, a nice 6-month cruise, and you make another party. After your wedding party, you make another party. What's the first party for? You got married. What's the second party for? What? You realize what you got. Now you got to know her. So Shmini Atzeres, Shmu is we receive the Torah. So we're happy we got the Torah. Simchas Torah, we finished. And now we know what we got, so we make another party. Okay, so that's one nice mashal I heard about Simchas Torah. But what I want to say is it doesn't say that we're happy. It says the Torah is happy. Simchat Torah means Simcha Shel Torah. What's the Torah so happy about? What's the Simcha Shel Torah? That's the Diyuk the Mefarshim make. So based on what we're saying, we can say that what's the Simcha of Torah? There are two things you can do with Torah. You can use Torah for your own means, for your own ends, right? Maybe it'll get you ahead in life. You know, it'll make you feel good about yourself. You finish the Masechta. Oh, now I feel like I'm somebody special because I finished the Masechta. You should feel that way. But what's the greatest goal of Torah? The greatest goal is you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the Torah. You want to enhance the Torah. Because you want to be mechaber the Torah. So you learn the Torah. You try to understand the Torah. You try to get a better understanding of the Torah. So it's not about you anymore. The learning isn't about you. It's about the Torah. So, a person who's a Baal Kaiva, what does he do? Right, a person who's... I once heard a really funny story about that, but I can't remember right now. So, a person who's about Gaiva, so what is he going to do? Say, you know, I finished this in this Masechta, and I did this, and I did that, and I'm such a masmid. What is a person who is an Anav? How does he learn? How does a humble person learn? A humble person, what is the Torah teaching me? What is the Torah teaching me? How can I get to the true intention of what the Torah is trying to tell me here? That's how an Anav learns. And then let's say you're finished. You learn the Masech. What do you say then? Haja, I don't understand anything. I got to start all over again. So what an Anav does. Every time he opens up the Gemara, he comes to new understandings. What, it ends now? People have been learning the same daf of Bava Metzia. You guys are learning Sanhedrin. The same Sanhedrin, Beis Amid Aleph. For 1500 years, and there are always new ways of understanding the Gemara. It's never, no, it's all done. I already did it. I'm finished. When do you finish? When do you graduate? I once heard a funny story in the earlier part of the last century. There was a rabbi who was sitting and learning late one night, and one of the Balabatim, they didn't know, like, you know, just stomp to learn, and they didn't understand that. So he saw the rabbi learning late at night. He comes into his house. He said, Rabbi, I'm disappointed. I thought you graduated. I thought you graduated. You're finished. When are you finished? You think we're Nemetzal? You know, he says, oh, we're starting Bereishis again. This is so boring. I've done this so many times. Another Bereishis. I know what's going to happen. He's going to create the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh. And then Adam's going to, oh, I can't believe he's going to eat from the tree again. And Chava, they're going to be kicked out of the garden. And then Cain, yada, 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 yada. The same old story. And then I know on Monday morning, oh, God's going to tell Noach that the end of all man has come before me. This is so monotonous. You know, he's going to look for something, the newspaper. What's the newspaper? It's news. It's new. Ah, yes, what did this politician say? I'm saying it is new. I'm saying, when was the last time that a black person will most likely be elected president of the United States? That's new! But the fact that Kate's called Buster Bolifnai Kimal Aretz Chamas, that's old news already! We know they were really bad, and there was water. Believe me, Benjamin, I'd rather you win, not him. Yes? We're all voting for Benjamin. So, Benjamin, I vote for you even over McCain. It's not even a shame. But, unfortunately, you're going to be staying in yeshiva. So, what's the answer? The answer is, every single time the parsha comes around, you learn it again. There's always new insights. There's always new insights into the Gemara. There's always new insights into the Tosfos. There's always new insights into the Rambam. So who's happy now? Who's really happy? The Torah! Because now the Torah's been expanded, and the Torah's been another advisage, another pshat, another way to learn the parsha. Oh, I never thought of that. I never thought, oh, Bereishis can be Yarei Shabbos. Ah, I have to fear of Shabbos, oh, and gracious. Ah, all 613 commandments are alluded to in the first word of the Torah, Bereishis. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. All Tariag mitzvahs are alluded to in the first word. So one of the students said, alright, where's Pidgin Aben? Try finding Pidgin Aben, redeeming your firstborn son, after 30 days in Bereishis. The Vilna Gaon says, that's easy. It's Rosh Tevos, Bereishis, Beis Reish, Aleph Shin, Yotav. Ben, Rishon, Acharei, Shloshim, Yom, Tifteh. That your firstborn son, after 30 days, you should redeem. It's all there! You find it all in the first, you find everything. So there's so much. There is so much. There's always new things to be learned from the Torah. But I tell you, and I don't know anything. But the more I learn, I've seen it again and again. Oh, I never thought of that. I say that pasuk every single day. You go through your davening, you learn through davening. You say it every day, even if you know what it means. Oh, but I never thought of it that way. Somebody was once writing a perish to Tefillah. And he went to the Kleisenberger Rebbe, and he told him he's writing a commentary to Tefillah. He said, how can you write a set commentary to Tefillah? Every day when you daven, you have new insights. There's always new things. Oh, today you thought of, this is the correct way of understanding this pasuk. The next day you thought a different way. So when you're an anav, it's never a closed book. There's always more ways of understanding it. So that's why it's not only your simcha, of course you're happy, but it's simcha of the Torah. The Torah is happy because you learn the Torah as an anav. You're a humble person. You always realize that you don't know anything, and therefore you always have a fresh perspective. How can I understand it now? And in this way, that's the greatest cover to the Torah. And that's how people come up always with new chedushim and new ideas and new thoughts. It's never old. Never. You can do the same. There's a story about the Shabina Rav was one of the biggest rabbis, one of the leading rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. He died in 1966. So one time a boy came to him on a Shabbos afternoon. So I have an interesting story. He knocked on his door, and the Shabbos afternoon he was napping. So the boy, whatever, he didn't have a father, he wanted the Shabina Rav to prepare him for a test. So he learned with him Eilu Metzius. And afterwards, you know, he told the boy that, you know, maybe it's not so kedai to, you know, knock on someone's door on a Shabbos afternoon, maybe they're napping. So the boy said, it never occurred to me that a Rav naps on a Shabbos afternoon. So he said, from that time on, he stopped sleeping on Shabbos. Because the boy couldn't, like, it never didn't occur to him that a big Rav sleeps on a Shabbos afternoon. Of course he's up and he's learning. But anyway, that's not why I'm telling you the story. I'm telling you the story because the Shabina Rav said that I've learned Eilu Metzius, that parak that I prepared the boy, a 9-year-old boy for his test, more times than I had hair in my head. You gotta assume he had hair in his head. I've learned it thousands of times. And I had two new insights into Eilu Metzius that I never had before when I was learning with that boy. You can learn it again, and 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 again. And there's always more, but you have to be an adult to do that. Then all I understand. I understand. What do you understand? What do you understand? I'm saying the Torah is infinity. The Torah is God. Kaviyachol. There's no end to it. It's never, I understand. It's never closed. But you have to be an adult. I understand. I understand. So that's what we're working on, guys. That's Hoshana Rabbah, is humility in order to daven. And Shemini Atzeres is humility in order to be close to God, in order to have that intimate meal with Him. Because if we're arrogant, you can't be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Simchas Torah, the Simcha of the Torah is when you approach the Torah with humility. You understand how little you understand, and then you try to, you know, learn Torah with that perspective, with that approach. And in that way, the Torah is true Simcha, and we should all be Zochem Yitz Hashem to take advantage of these holy days. I say that all of Elul is to get to Yom Kippur, and all of Yom Kippur is to get to Ne'ilah, and the Ela is to get to Sukkos, and then you get to the Sukkos, and everything, the apex of everything, the peak, is to get to Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeres, and be on that high of, Chutz Laretz, Simchas Torah gets its own day, to be on that high of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Zveikus BaTorah, and Amir Tashem, we should all be Zochah. 2, 3, 4.
If the West Hashem be Simcha, if the West Hashem be Simcha, all the fun of the Simcha, Vana Gernana. If the West Hashem be Shaina, if the West Hashem be Shaina, all the fun of Gernana, the fun of Gernana. Lie, 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 lie